Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. So I'm walking the dog today, and a middle-aged man, comes running up to me, and he says, Michael, he said, this criminal gang, they're killing us. They're criminals. I swear they're criminals. I said, well, who are you? Slow down. He said, you have no idea. He said, you're one of the few who understand it. They're all criminals. This is a gang that has taken over America. I said, well, why don't you listen to today's show, because there's an element of what you are saying that's frighteningly true. This morning I read U.S. election results are now owned by a foreign firm. Let me repeat it in case you didn't hear it yet today or read it in the USA Today or one of the other newspapers. All U.S. election results are now run through a global internet voting firm which bought U.S. election results reporting firm. In a major step towards global centralization of election processes, the world's dominant internet voting company has purchased the USA's dominant election results reporting company. So if you view your local or state election results on the internet, on portals which often appear to be owned by the County Elections Division, in over 525 U.S. jurisdictions, you're actually being redirected to a private corporate site controlled by a foreign software firm. Here on the Savage Nation, we have investigated this story, and we found out where the money has come from. We found out who this foreign company is. We found out who the foreign company is that bought the leading U.S. elections reporting firm. They have connections through its venture capital funders to the following organizations: Goldman Sachs, Bain & Company, and the British government. It also partnered with U.S. State Department individuals under Hillary Clinton to support election results in the Middle East. In other words, the very same reporting firm that reported on the election results that have given us these fascistic Islamist governments from Egypt to Morocco, funded by Hillary Clinton, is now going to tell you who you voted for. Day by day, step by step, they thought they were free. They thought they were free. This is a very important story. We'll continue to talk about it. Here's another story. It's the story about the U.S. Marines who are accused of urinating on the corpses of the throwback Taliban. Today I received this from USA Today's editorial page. They said, I'm emailing from USA Today's editorial page in hopes of getting in touch with Michael Savage. We'd like to invite him to contribute to an upcoming debate about the video of the Marines who urinated on corpses in Afghanistan, they write. Here's some context on our request. As you may know, our editorial page is traditionally set up as a debate, featuring both the stance of the USA Today board and a view from an opposing side in order to show readers both sides of a given issue. In this case, our editorial board review will run along these lines, and I'll read to you what position they are taking, and then I'll read to you what I have said in the past and what I intend to say in my editorial. Here's what the USA Today board has said about the urination video. They write, you don't have to respect the Taliban's views or their actions or diminish the bravery and dedication of Marines who put themselves in harm's way in Afghanistan to condemn what these Marines did. If they're guilty, and it obviously looks like they are, but we'll see, they have violated explicit codes that have always governed U.S. troops in wartime. Not just that, but they've needlessly given aid and comfort to the enemy by handing the Taliban evidence to further inflame public opinion against U.S. troops. In a war where we're competing with the Taliban to win the hearts and minds of Afghans, that's astonishingly stupid. If these Marines are found guilty after investigation, they deserve the appropriate punishment under military law. They then write that we heard Dr. Savage's comments on the subject on his radio show the other day and thought he may be interested in taking the opposing view, arguing in roughly 350 words that the Marines don't deserve censure for their actions. A lot of our readers have written in about this, so we expect major interest in the debate. In a moment, I will read to you what I have already stated and what I intend to state in my reaction to this Marine issue. Already I have said to you, give the Marines a medal, not a court-martial. I will read you what I am intending to write in a shorter form, of course, for the written word. And then I will ask you, what would you add or what would you subtract? The only politician who has come to the defense of the Marines is Mr. Rick Perry, governor of Texas, a great man. Listen to clip two.
Now, these young men made a mistake. They obviously made a mistake.
You're talking about urinating on the corpses.
They made a mistake that the military needs to deal with, and they need to be punished. But the fact of the matter, the fact of the matter is this. When the Secretary of Defense calls that a despicable act, when he calls that utterly despicable, let me tell you what's utterly despicable. Cutting Danny Pearl's head off and showing the video of it. Hanging our contractors.
Amen. God bless you, Rick Perry, for standing up for the U.S. Marines, unlike the government media complex, which has already thrown them to the wolves. Of course, MSNBC has attacked the Marines in advance. Listen to what this fat slob has to say in clip three.
The bottom line here is, if these kids are old enough to fight in the Marine Corps, they're old enough to follow the laws of war. And for Rick Perry to give them a pass is irresponsible psycho talk.
You fat slob, you. You've probably never been in a fist fight, never mind a firefight, you slob, you. You anti-American backstabbing knife, backstabbing fat slob, you. Here's what I wrote. Give the Marines a medal, not a court-martial. I'd like to hear what you have to say about this issue. I'd like to hear what you have to say about the fact that your government has just sold the reporting rights to our elections to a foreign firm headquartered in Spain. Did you hear what I said? A foreign company bought the leading U.S. elections reporting firm, SOE. It has connections through its venture capital funders to Goldman Sachs, Bain & Company, and the British government. It also partnered with Hillary Clinton's U.S. State Department to support elections in the Middle East, which have given us the fascist dictatorships that are emerging. The company is based in Barcelona. Its funding comes from international venture capital funds, including Nauta Capital and Balderton Capital, also funded through none other than Goldman Sachs. We've investigated all of this. We've investigated it to as far as we can go. It's very hidden, very clouded, very obscure, very difficult. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. How do you feel about the United States government selling election returns to a firm in Spain? How do you feel about a foreign company counting your votes in the next election? Why haven't the Republicans said a thing about this? Why has there been no action taken by the so-called Federal Elections Commission about a foreign firm counting our votes? The State Department under Hillary Clinton gave this very same company money for elections in the Middle East. Elections which have placed fascist Muslim dictatorships in power. Do you fear there's a connection between Hillary Clinton, George Soros, Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and others, and this company? 1-800-449-8255. When I come back on the Savage Nation, I will read you what my response is likely to be to USA Today, and I doubt very much that they will print it. But you will hear it first right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The fact of the matter is this. When the Secretary of Defense calls that a despicable act, when he calls that utterly despicable, let me tell you what's utterly despicable. Cutting Danny Pearl's head off and showing the video of it. Hanging our contractors from bridges. That's utterly despicable. For our president, for the Secretary of State, for the Department of Defense Secretary to make those kind of statements about those young Marines, yes, they need to be punished. But when you see this president with that type of disdain for our country, taking $1 trillion out of our defense budget. I lived through a reduction of force once, and I saw...
All right, well, let's not get off the track. That's Rick Perry supporting the U.S. Marines, saying they should be censured. But apparently the U.S. media wants them hung or put in prison for life because they urinated on the corpses of Taliban, who apparently they had just defeated in a firefight, not to be outdone by the U.S. media and the vermin in the government who hate the U.S. Marines in particular because it's too white and too able to fight. We have the hate group, CAIR, the Council of whatever it is, the hate group, as far as I'm concerned, jumping down the backs of the Marines because they had the nerve to not get killed in the firefight. I've yet to see CAIR come out and condemn one of the beheadings of the Taliban. I've yet to see them come out and condemn virtually any of the hate that comes from the Muslim world toward the Western world. But any time there's an opportunity for them to stick a knife in the backs of our Marines, they do so. So my response to USA Today will be along these lines. And I'll start to read it. If I have the time, I will do it. Give the Marines a medal, not a court-martial, part one. And here's what I'm going to write. Most people in the media have never been in a fist fight, never mind a firefight. They've been brainwashed since early childhood to not hit back. The boys we have left who still have the guts to face down these throwbacks, who live in another century, who not only don't respect the rule of law, but the rule of humanity, should be supported at all costs at a time like this. Where will we find our fighting men if we continue to attack them at every turn? This attack on our Marines has been orchestrated by the media at this time, specifically because Obama has announced he wants to drastically reduce the size of the U.S. Marine Corps. Liberals have long despised the Marines above all other branches of service. This is their opportunity to destroy the proud and the few. Even if these boys did urinate on the corpses of the Taliban after a firefight, it certainly doesn't rise to the level of the crime that the cowards in the government and media are making it out to be. Yes, if they did this, it was a violation of U.S. Marine code. However, let's look at the circumstances as we would after any crime. Here we have liberals who bend over backwards for mass murderers, giving them the benefit of the doubt at every turn, in every trial, giving them one appeal after another, always giving the criminal the benefit of the doubt. Yet here they rush to judgment to crucify our brave fighting men. These are not the fat old generals sitting in the Pentagon waiting for the next assignment to deal with a contractor. These are our young warriors with the guts to defend our nation. Make no mistake about it. The Taliban are a ruthless, vicious enemy of freedom. Where was the outrage from the media when the U.S. contractors were hung from a bridge in Fallujah? Did we hear a demand for a trial for those civilians who did it from anyone in the U.S. media at that time? Did CARE say anything about it at that time? Do you have any idea what the Taliban do to the local people who do not comply with their desires? Where is the outrage? Where is the United Nations when the Taliban commit atrocities? The answer is nowhere to be found. No, these Marines are not the devils. The Taliban are the devils, and these boys are your heroes. They should be rewarded for having the guts to go into combat, not punished for stepping over the line. They're being judged by the same rules of engagement that the police are, which are difficult enough. The war zone is not the same as the police zone. That's why I say, give these boys a medal, not a court-martial. Why is it that the American media is always so forgiving of the enemy and always so condemning of our troops? As Shakespeare said, to err is human, to forgive divine. I'm Michael Savage. I agree with this editorial. I'd like to ask you, what would you add to what I have written? Because it will be published, no doubt, in some abbreviated form in the USA Today, where this debate will rage after Thursday, I can assure you. It also tells you that everyone listens to this show worth a penny. Anyone in this country worth a penny or a zillion dollars knows who Michael Savage is because they understand that my analysis is unique, it's educated, and it's sharp. And let me tell you something else. They also know in their hearts that I'm often right. Many of them are trapped in structures in which they cannot even violate, in structures in which they cannot express their true beliefs, whether they work for a newspaper or a media outlet other than a newspaper, or they're in the government of Obama itself, they are trapped as though they're in North Korea. They dare not step out of the box for fear that they will be punished, demoted, or fired entirely. We are living in a dictatorship ruled by the mob from Chicago. Make no mistake about it. What's your opinion on the Marine issue? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's begin with Penny in Kansas City. Penny, fire away.
Thank you for taking my call, Michael. I'm a longtime listener. This is the first time I've gotten through on the phone. I want to say, as I often do, I agree with you fully on this, with some caveats. The only caveat I have is it's not despicable. Beheading is despicable. The things that the Taliban do are despicable. What they did was wrong. Yes, we're above that. We should keep in mind the situation that they're in, and that's why I called in before.
Well, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Of course they shouldn't have done it. No one's saying they should urinate on the corpses of the enemy after a firefight. I'm not arguing they should have done it. But I'm asking, where is the forgiveness from the American government media complex? They are very quick to forgive the enemy, aren't they?
The only caveat that I spoke of is that it wouldn't be any different no matter who's in the White House, Michael. They're all tied one way or another.
Well, that's a separate story. George Bush persecuted the U.S. Marines, and I defended the U.S. Marines during Bush's reign of terror, and I raised money for the U.S. Marines who were falsely accused, all as a result of a Newsweek reporter who started a big lie. And if you're that former Marine contracting pig, that lout, who jumped down the throats of the Marines and cost their families millions of dollars in addition to the Marines. This is exactly the same thing. Thank you for the call. 1-800-44. I swear I wouldn't get angry today. I promised myself that I would not go over the line today. I would not blow a fuse, but I've been over the line all day today. From the time I woke up and found out that Obama and Hillary Clinton have conspired to steal elections. When I woke up this morning and I read that a global internet voting firm bought the U.S. election results reporting firm, I said we are now living in a total dictatorship. It is an absolute and total dictatorship taken over by the Chicago mob. The Chicago gang has stolen the elections in America. Not a peep out of any of those on the platform last night. Who is going to represent us now that we know that the gang has taken over the country?
Savage.
U.S. Marines are our young lions. And if we defang and declaw our young lions, who will be there to defend us? Have you any idea who these throwbacks are? Have you any idea what century they live in? Have you any idea what they would like to do to you? Have you any idea what they do to their own civilian population if they do not comply with their 15th century strictures? Who will we find to defend us if we continue to crucify our Marines at every turn? The U.S. government has now imposed rules of engagement that are similar to that of a highway patrolman or a policeman somewhere in the United States of America on the streets or the highways of this country. This has never been done to men at war before. Never. Never before. Never before. But the media wants to turn every fighting man into a Lieutenant Callie. That is their goal, to disgrace the warriors of our nation, to debase and to disgrace the warriors of our nation, until we have a military no better than that of Spain or Portugal, until we have a PC corrected media that's incapable of fighting. That's what they want to do, and that's why they're going after the U.S. Marines amongst all of the services. And believe me, there are tremendous warriors in all classes of the U.S. military. It takes guts to fly a fighter jet. It takes guts to be a U.S. Ranger. We understand that. However, in the U.S. Marines, what you see is a little unique in many ways. You see, the U.S. Marine Corps is targeted by the Obama administration because liberals hate the U.S. Marines in particular. They don't like that saluting thing. They don't like it. It goes back to Hillary Clinton's term of power, where they condemned. I remember distinctly some of the witches who worked for her had specifically vicious words for the Marines. They didn't like them at all. They don't like them primarily because they're too white and they're able to fight a little too well. You see, the Marine Corps is not as diverse as some branches of the military. And as you well know, the mantra of the Obama administration is diversity uber alles. I could ask you some questions, but I know you've already made up your mind. I say give the Marines a medal, not a court-martial. Take them out of active duty for 2 weeks and put them on latrine duty and then tell them, guys, don't do it again. I really ask this question. Where did this video come from about a day or two after Leon Panetta got through saying he was going to slash the U.S. military? Why was it released now, just as Obama is getting ready to decimate the U.S. military to a level it's not been seen at in decades? Last night, even the moderate Mitt Romney, even the moderate, milquetoast-ish, Republican light Mitt Romney, understands what's happening. Listen to clip 7. Here's Mitt Romney.
The most extraordinary thing that's happened with this military authorization is the president's planning on cutting $1 trillion out of military spending. Our Navy is smaller than it's been since 1917. Our Air Force is smaller and older than any time since 1947. We're cutting our number of troops. We're not giving our veterans the care they deserve. We simply cannot continue to cut our Department of Defense budget if we're going to remain the hope of the earth, and I will fight to make sure America retains military superiority.
Well, Mitt Romney was right on that. He was wrong when he said he supports the NDAA. I don't even think he understands that it applies to U.S. citizens. I was appalled when he took that stance. He was booed, by the way. But he was right when it comes to understanding that the Obama gang wants to defang the U.S. military to the extent that it's to the point where it is of no return, the point of no return. I'll go to some of the callers now on the Savage Nation. Let's begin in Sacramento, California, on the great KSTE. Jay, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Doc Savage. How are you? I want to tell you that I agree with everything you said about the U.S. Marines. Every soldier, sailor, and airman sacrificed their lives, volunteered their service for this great country of ours. And in times of war, and when you're out of work, and you're working at a war area, things do happen. War is not a pretty place. But what these young men did, forget about it. Give them a medal. Because these guys sacrificed their lives on a daily basis.
Well, what you're saying is they risk their lives, and it could have been them. And I can guarantee you, if they had been killed after a firefight and dragged through the streets in pieces, the hate group CAIR would have had nothing to say. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Thank you very much for the call. Mississippi, David, welcome to the Savage Nation. You disagree. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Now, I understand where you're coming from. I respect the passion, and I can understand your opinion. However, I cannot agree with you in any sense. I'm a Marine. I've been a Marine for 11 and a half years. I entered in, enlisted. I got my commission. I've worked my way up the ranks. And I will tell you right now that almost any Marine will condemn these actions and not give them a medal and give them a court-martial because we...
Let me ask you something. In your 11 years in the Marines, and thank you for your service, have you fought in combat?
Me? No, I have not.
I rest my case. You see, this is... Your opinion is that of all of the other capons in the Marine. All of the other defeathered, defrocked, declawed, defanged U.S. Marines who sit here on the in the comfort of their home and judge your brethren who actually are in the war zone, you have no right to judge them. You're doing this as though you're them. You're not them. You may wear the same uniform. You may have gone through the same training, but you don't know what it's like to have been in a firefight, do you? You don't know what it's like to have seen one of your friends chopped to pieces from a roadside bomb and what the after effects are on your mind. So I think you're wrong. Thank you for the call. See, this is the problem. We're intellectualizing the situation. We're too removed from the situation. We are, of course, sitting here in the comfort of our living rooms not realizing what's happening to us, not realizing how slowly but surely not only have our freedoms been taken away by this administration, but the very fighting spirit of the U.S. military is being denuded by this administration, viciously assaulted. And again, ask yourself where this video came from. Why was it released just the other day, which was in within hours, really, 48 hours, of Obama and Panetta announcing they're going to decimate the U.S. military even further, especially the Marine Corps, where they're going to fire 110,000 men. Why would this come out? Because it's part and parcel of the program and the plan and the conspiracy to have you hate the U.S. Marines. You don't know how clever these people really are. You haven't any idea how smart and how competent this group is that is running this country. I don't think you know how smart they really are. Never underestimate them. That's all I can tell you. They are the smartest and most devious group of people I've ever seen running any country, anywhere, at any time in the history of human beings. No one has been smarter than this group. Don't underestimate them. Not for one second. Tonight I was watching television, or this afternoon before the show, and I think it was, again, CNN mocking Mitt Romney for some reason, because they know he's the front runner right now, and they're afraid of him. As moderate as Mitt is, as liberal as Mitt is, he's not enough of a communist for the vermin in the media. And so they're starting the guns already. The guns of August have gone off in January. They run a little piece on Mitt Romney, and seconds later they go to something about a cartoon character who said this or said that. And they ask a question, which cartoon character said this or said that? And then they go to a break, and I said, look at this brainwashing. Look at the propaganda of this government that we're living with. They are that sophisticated that they run a piece about Mitt Romney, and then they go to a story about a cartoon character, so that the average person doesn't even understand that subliminally they're supposed to believe Mitt Romney is merely a cartoon character. This is how smart they are. This is the smartest group that has ever taken over a country in the history of the world. And I don't believe that they're benign. And I don't believe that they respect the Constitution. And I don't believe that they have the best interests of every American at heart. I fear them to my core. I fear them to my core. Tucson, Arizona. Mark, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah. Mike, I think it's pretty disgusting that our media and our government jumps on our soldiers that way so quickly, but they neglect to mention Major Nidal at all. And that Marine that called a minute ago ought to be ashamed of himself. You know?
Wait a minute. That's interesting. Yeah, that should be added to my editorial. That's right. Where was the media on Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim major who killed 13 and injured 30 who were unarmed and has yet to be brought to trial? Why has USA Today not yet written an editorial demanding a trial for Major Nidal Hassan? That's an interesting addition, Mark. You raise a very good point. I'm going to send you a free copy of Abuse of Power for that. 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento, Vic, you have an addition to my column. What's your suggestion?
I do. The guys are, irrespective of what they did, where was their commander saying? They may have acted like, let's say, asses, but they're my asses, and they're my guys, and I'll stand up for them, and the heck with everybody else. I'll deal with them. I'm proud of my boys.
Vic, they threw them overboard immediately. The head of the Marine Corps, the commandant, has, I have no respect for him. He attacked them immediately because he was afraid of getting demoted. He was watching his back because, as you well know, a good German always follows orders. You understand what I'm saying to you, don't you?
I think you should.
A good German always follows orders. A good German, like the Marine commandant, is only following orders. And he was told by his boss, Leon Panetta, you condemn them, or you get demoted, General. And so General Amos stabbed the boys in the back without a trial. That's where they are. That's where they are. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This story of the Marines urinating on the corpses of the 15th century Taliban, who they faced in combat, is going to get bigger, not smaller. And I've been asked to write an editorial on this by USA Today, who is taking the position that what they did is despicable, they should be punished to the full extent of the law, etc., etc. You know, the standard liberal approach, which is to condemn the police or condemn the military at the slightest, at every opportunity, while supporting the enemy at every opportunity, supporting murderers at every opportunity, demanding they be given one trial after another, and we hear about extenuating circumstances and this and that, etc. And of course, they had nothing to say thus far about Major Nidal Hassan, who slaughtered 13 and wounded 30 individuals in the Fort Hood massacre. I've yet to read an editorial in the USA Today calling for his immediate trial and his execution. So you understand what I'm doing here. that the burden is falling upon me to defend the U.S. Marines. I don't mind doing it. I appreciate the opportunity to do it. I'm honored to use my skills as a broadcaster and as a writer to defend these men, but I shouldn't be the one to be doing this. It should have been the Marine Corps Commandant General John Amos, who instead of defending his boys, he called the act inconsistent with our high standards of conduct, and then he whined about, quote, our commitment to upholding the Geneva Convention, the laws of war, and our own core values. Well, we've heard all of that before. What about the Taliban atrocities, car bombings, beheadings, the murder of women and children? All of these flout the Geneva Convention and yet are routinely ignored by the media and even our military higher-ups who look the other way. I'm not saying what these men did, if they did in fact urinate on these corpses, isn't a violation of military code. But unlike murderers who are granted appeal after appeal, and for whom liberals in the legal system bend over backwards to avoid punishing, these Marines have been tried and found guilty in the media. Their own commanders are testifying against them. It's the latest attempt by the liberal media and the increasingly politically correct military brass to destroy the few, the proud, and the brave, the U.S. Marines. To err is human, to forgive divine. Have we forgotten that? To err is human, to forgive divine. Any callers out there want to talk about this? What it's like after a battle? To all of the armchair generals listening to the Savage Nation who are quick to swill a glass of wine at this hour and then say, throw them to the wolves? Patrick in Tennessee, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael, for what you're doing for this cause. I'm a Marine, and I served in Vietnam through 68 and 69. And if you should be lucky to survive a firefight, your adrenaline is so high, you do things that you normally wouldn't do in a right mind. And
that's what I'm saying. I even said that on my show last Thursday. I said, do any of these fat behind the generals sitting in the comfort of their contracting chairs in Washington remember, or have they ever known what it's like to have the blood running in your head, having seen your fellow soldiers butchered, shot, their faces blown off? God knows what they saw 2 minutes before. God only knows what they saw.
They must have forgotten. I don't know how they could. My life has never been the same coming back from Vietnam.
Well, at least you had the guts to go into Nam as a Marine. You should respect yourself for it.
I don't know how these young guys have done three tours in Afghanistan and Pakistan. They're a mess. And I hope and I know the government's not going to stand behind them and give them the help they need.
No, I'm going to have to raise money for them because you know and I know their families will be bankrupted. You know, the government spent millions of dollars to condemn the falsely accused soldiers that I defended. Every one of them has been found innocent. Do you know that? And it was all started by a Newsweek reporter who leaked the story in order to destroy their lives. You know this, don't you?
Yes. You know, I like Trump's idea. Any man who died in war, their family automatically gets $5 million.
Amen. That's right. Donald Trump has a great idea. That's right. I like another idea that was used in Roman times. Any of the warriors who came back from actual battle were relieved of paying taxes to the state for the rest of their lives. How's that for an idea?
This country's going down the tooth. I just can't bump.
Instead, we reward the vermin in the gutter. Every day I have to see another pervert or another loser held up as a role model by the media. Every day in the media, another loser, another degenerate held up on a platform, on a pedestal. One pervert after another on a pedestal. Now the latest thing is bullying. That's the latest code word. Bullying. Everything bullying. Bullying this, bullying that. I was subject to bullying my entire life. I could have curled up in a ball and sucked my thumb and cried to my father. You know what he would have done? He would have kicked my behind and told me to go out there and take it like a man and not cry. Learn how to stand up for myself, which is exactly what happened. You think I like being picked on? I was picked on for 100 different things, which I won't bore you with the details. In the Bronx of New York, I was picked on for 100 different things all the way through high school. You think I liked it? My face was red, my heart was broken, but my soul burned. I burned inside to get even with all of those who bullied me. So bullying is actually a hardening of the human spirit. It hardens the individual. It doesn't weaken them. It hardens the individual. It doesn't weaken them. And that is how children police themselves in many ways. I didn't say beat somebody up. I didn't say go out of your way to be vicious. But children will be children. Children are vicious. Children are vicious. That's what they are. They are like wild animals. That's what children are, and they have to be civilized. Let's take callers on the bigger issue. New York, Robbie, you're the first up today from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, we've talked quite a few times before. I'm a Jewish conservative television writer from L.A., and I love the point that you're making about the armchair generals and people that haven't been there being big talkers. And I want to sum up those great points you made in one line. And I think what people have to remember is the battlefield looks different from a distance.
Oh, yes, it looks very different in Quantico on a television screen where the fat generals sit during their breaks and watch the video of it. And then they say, oh, yeah, that's horrible. Oh, well, what is the appropriate punishment, Hal? Well, I don't know. Perhaps we can strip them of their dignity first, and then we can probably put them away for 2 to 3 years. I think that would satisfy Master Obama, don't you, Hal?
And you know what else, Michael?
I know what else, but we have a big job ahead. We're going to have to raise millions of dollars for these kids. That's the job.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
That about summarizes it all. Of course, what they did violated the rules of war. Of course, what they did violated the Geneva Convention. But let's back up for a minute. To what extent did it violate the Geneva Convention? Does it meet the level of the contractors who were hung in Fallujah by the mobs of Muslims in the Sunni Triangle? Yet we heard no editorials at the time in the American newspapers saying that they should be hunted down and punished. What really disturbs me here is how quickly the government media complex is condemning the Marines for this urination on the corpses. And then the lack of context. In every other case of a crime or a violation, we are told to reserve judgment. We're told to evaluate extenuating circumstances or the circumstances in which this happened. Do we know what happened moments before this video was shot? What did these four Taliban do to their brethren? What did they do to them? Did they set off a roadside bomb and butcher someone? Did they cut off a woman's private parts? Did they just kill a child? How do we know what these four Taliban had just done? And yet the media is demanding their heads. The very same media that has said nothing, that remains abysmally silent about the Fort Hood massacre. I've seen no editorials demanding that Nidal Hassan be tried and executed. Not one word from the U.S. media that Nidal Hassan, who killed 13 unarmed members of the U.S. military and shot 33 others, be brought to a speedy trial and executed when he is found guilty. But yet, in this case, just urinating on dead corpses is apparently a martial offense to the refined liberals in the media who don't miss any opportunity to attack our fighting men. So I've been asked to write a counter-editorial, which I will do. Whether it will be published is another story. We'll see what happens at that point. But I have another point here for you. An article just came out from the Great Falls Tribune, which is entitled, Desecration of the Dead is as Old as War Itself. Doesn't mean it's revered. It isn't. Virtually every country on earth tells their troops not to desecrate the war dead, and yet it is done. It's an amazing editorial. The history of war is replete with stories of atrocities committed to send a message. In the 15th century, Prince Vlad III of Wallachia struck fear in his Turkish enemies and earned his gruesome nickname, Vlad the Impaler, by littering the battlefield with the impaled corpses of the vanquished. Over the centuries, we read, fingers, scalps, and other body parts have been taken as battlefield trophies. Nevertheless, the desecration of a dead foe is taboo across cultures. No one needs to explain this to you. We know it's inappropriate. We know that. But they write it can be difficult for soldiers, particularly members of a tight-knit group, to go on killing missions and then just switch off. Shall I read that for you again, all of you sitting in the comfort of your home or your car? It can be difficult for soldiers, particularly members of a tight-knit group, to go on killing missions and then just switch off. In his World War II memoir with the old breed, E.B. Sledge wrote of seeing the bloated, blackened corpse of a fellow Marine on the Pacific island of Peleliu, his head and hands cut off, his severed genitals stuffed in his mouth. My emotions solidified into rage and a hatred for the Japanese beyond anything I'd ever experienced, he wrote. From that moment on, I never felt the least pity or compassion for them, no matter what the circumstances. My comrades would field strip their packs and pockets for souvenirs and take gold teeth, but I never saw a Marine commit the kind of barbaric mutilation the Japanese committed if they had access to our dead. Urinating on the dead, they write, is not exactly a new idea. In that same book, Sledge wrote with disgust about a young Marine officer in Okinawa. He said if he could, that gentleman, by the act of Congress, would locate a Japanese corpse, stand over it, and urinate in its mouth. It was the most repulsive thing I ever saw an American do in the war. I was ashamed that he was a Marine officer. Marty Brenner, an anger management specialist in Beverly Hills, California, who treats combat veterans and civilians, said the acts depicted in the urination video and the Marines' recording of it demonstrates rage. They have no other way of expressing their anger at these people, Brenner said. So what they're doing is urinating on them to show, I'm better. I want the world to see you guys are crap, and that's what you deserve. Many Marines, of course, are disgusted by this. One man, Arthur Wade, a Vietnam veteran, retired in 89, said, if one of those men being urinated on was your father, would you want to help the United States? But Maynard Sinclair, a Marine veteran of Vietnam and the peacekeeping mission in Beirut, said the outrage shows the public's naivete about war. He said, I did a hell of a lot worse in Vietnam than urinate on some dead bodies. We cut left ears off and wore them around our necks to show we were warriors, and we knew how to get revenge. Gary Solis, a former Marine Corps prosecutor and judge, said the Internet has added a dimension that soldiers in the past did not have to deal with. In Vietnam, when you screwed up, no one back home heard about it. Yes, desecration of the dead is as old as war itself. Yes, what they did was wrong. But what about giving them a break? What about giving them a slap on the wrist? Why must the U.S. military and the U.S. media demand the maximum punishment? 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Give the Marines a medal, not a court martial. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Piling on, piling on, piling on, piling on. Well, what I'm going to write is along the lines of what I've read to you. Most of the men in the media, the same journalists who were orchestrating the attack on American Marines who allegedly urinated on Taliban terrorists they killed in a firefight, have never even been in a fist fight, let alone a gun battle. And yet here they are piling on the real men who have the guts to go into combat against 15th century radical Islamist throwbacks to face a barbaric enemy eye to eye, blade to blade, bullet to bullet. If four college guys at a frat party had done what our Marines are accused of, the video would have gone viral on YouTube, and they'd be getting offers to star in a TV reality show. It barely rates a yawn and certainly not a court-martial. And yet we hear Marine Corps Commandant General John Amos calling the act inconsistent with our high standards of conduct, then whining about our commitment to upholding the Geneva Convention, the laws of war, and our own core values. This in the face of Taliban atrocities, General, car bombings, beheadings, the murder of women and children that flout the Geneva Convention and yet are routinely ignored by the media and even our military higher-ups. I believe our fighting men must be supported at all costs at a time like this. How can we in good faith ask them to put their lives in a line against the most vile, most extreme of enemies, while at the same time we attack them in the press at every turn? I'm not saying what these Marines did isn't a violation of military code. But unlike murderers who are granted appeal after appeal and for whom liberals in the legal system bend over backwards to avoid punishing, these Marines have been tried and found guilty in the media. Their own commanders are testifying against them. These U.S. Marines are not the devils. The Taliban are the devils. Our Marines are heroes. They should be rewarded for having the guts to go into combat, not punished for stepping over the line. It's the latest attempt by the liberal media and the increasingly politically correct military brass to destroy the few, the proud, and the brave, the Marines. As Shakespeare wrote, to err is human, to forgive is divine, or to forgive divine. I rest my case. I turn it over to the audience. Another major story that has been ignored to date is that a global internet voting firm has bought the U.S. election results reporting firm. Do you know what that means? The world's dominant internet voting company has purchased the USA's dominant election results reporting company, which means that all of our elections are going to be funneled through a company run out of Spain. With this company, through internet voting, there will be no ballots, no physical evidence, no chain of custody, no way for you, the public, to authenticate who actually cast the votes, chain of custody, or the count. This company, this shady company, is moving into already running elections in the United Kingdom, France, Canada, Norway, Switzerland, UAE, South Africa, India, and Australia. This shady company is based in Barcelona, Spain. Its funding comes from international venture capital funds, including Nauta Capital, Balderton Capital, and Spinnaker. What does that mean? Who are they? Who are these capitalists? Well, we did a little research. We went a little deeper. The foreign company that bought the leading U.S. elections reporting firm has connections through its venture capital funders to Goldman Sachs, Bain and Company, and the British government. It also partnered with Hillary Clinton's State Department to support so-called elections in the Middle East. Who is the head of Nauta Capital? Who is he? Javier Rubio, general partner. Who is he? We don't know. But we know he holds an MBA from the University of Chicago. That's right. One of the capital firms that just bought the election results reporting firm, based in Spain, holds an MBA from the University of Chicago. Well, unto itself, that's not suspicious, is it? Well, anytime you see the word Chicago, I would say you'd look a little more deeply, wouldn't you? What about Tim Bunting of Balderton Capital? He was previously a partner of Goldman Sachs, where he spent 18 years. Goldman Sachs, connected to the foreign company that bought the leading U.S. elections reporting firm. U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs selected this company to monitor the elections that have given us the fascist dictatorships that are emerging in the Arab Crescent right now. So what do I make of all of this? What I make of this is that CFR now controls the elections in the United States of America. The Council on Foreign Relations is now fundamentally going to control the outcome of any election from the local dog catcher to the presidency. Is this what the men died for, if previous generations, for a group of carpetbaggers to control our votes? How is this happening? Where is the Federal Elections Commission? I would hope this would be a part of the debate the next time we hear any of the Republican candidates get up there. And by the way, they're all doing a good job. As far as I'm concerned, any one of the Republicans up there right now would make a better president than the fraudster in the White House. Any one of them. Romney, Santorum, even the rolling wreck of Newt Gingrich would be a better vote than Obama. We know that. We are living in a very dangerous time when radical Islam is on the march around the world, when a hatred for Jews in the West is at a peak, when Iran is threatening to wipe Israel off the map. Very dangerous time indeed. And for us to be attacking the U.S. Marines instead of directing our media to be attacking those who would destroy our freedoms themselves is amazing to me. They should be given a light reprimand. They should be slapped on the wrist, and that should be the end of it. But I can guarantee you that this urination video story will be run right up to the election, right up until November of 2012, to remind us how evil the military is, to remind us how wise Obama is for cutting 110,000 U.S. Marines off the payroll, to remind us how great is the anti-war movement that is now running the United States of America. I can guarantee you that's why this video was released last week. I can guarantee you, as I'm sitting here, I can't prove it, but I can guarantee it because common sense dictates that I am right. Doesn't take anything but a man who studies these things on a daily basis to tell you what's going on. That's what I think is going on. Houston, Texas, Jennifer, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Back to the Marines. When these liberal 20-something degree hot sun eating MREs and watched their brother die from these crazy Taliban, who, by the way, are not fighting according to the Geneva Convention or any other war laws other than their own, which is kill, 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 then maybe they can complain about a few Marines peeing on some dead bodies. But did they ever think about the stress that these guys have gone under? They're lucky that all they did was pee on the damn bodies.
Okay, I hear you. I don't disagree with you. We know it's a violation of the rules of law. We know it's a violation of the Geneva Convention. We know it's wrong. But we also know that there are extenuating circumstances. And we also know that the punishment should fit the crime and that the Council on AIR, CAIR, whatever they call themselves, whatever that group really is very quick to condemn the U.S. Marines, while I do not think they have yet to condemn Major Nedal Hassan, who committed the Fort Hood massacre. I've yet to see an official policy paper from this shadowy group, CAIR, which is always there to condemn our men, but not there to condemn a Muslim, no matter what the Muslim may do. We have for you a shocking tape, a short piece, of an Egyptian child preacher, Mohammed Osama, in his anti-Semitic rant in Egypt. It is in Arabic, but it calls for the death of Jews. This is what they're putting in the brains of the children of Egypt. Listen to this.
ننتصر على أعدائنا ونمكن لديننا ونأزم اليهود قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة.
Let's turn this little rat off for a minute. This little dirty rat is considered an Egyptian child preacher who is revered in Egypt, a country that Hillary Clinton and George Soros love so much, where he is saying that from his Bible, the Quran, they must kill the Jews. And the Jews will hide behind the trees and the stones, and then the trees and the stones will say, O Muslim, O servant of Allah, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. It's unbelievable. They're brainwashing children to kill. Not a word from CAIR.
Savage.
I would say that the Marine brass and the media are doing worse than the Marines who urinated on the Taliban dead. I would say that they're urinating on the honor of the U.S. Marines. Did you hear what I just said? I would say that the Marine brass, including Panetta, the head of the Defense Department, and the media, who are jumping all over these Marines for having urinated on the corpses of the Taliban soldiers who they were fighting, are in essence urinating on the Marine Corps. They're doing worse than the Marines did because they should know better. And they're not only violating all of the rules of civility, the media and the Marine brass, they are violating the rules of sanity. Most people in the media have never been in a fist fight, let alone a firefight. They've been brainwashed since little boyhood to not hit back. And the only kids we have left who still have the guts to face down these throwbacks should be supported at all costs at a time like this. These throwbacks not only don't respect the rule of law, they don't support the rule of humanity. Where will we ever find fighting men if we continue to attack them at every turn? Now, this attack on our Marines at this time has been orchestrated, in my opinion, by the Obama administration, specifically because he wants to drastically reduce the size not only of the Marine Corps, the military in general, but the U.S. Marine Corps in particular. You see, liberals have long despised the Marines above all other branches of service because they're too white and they fight too well. This is their opportunity to destroy the proud and the few. Sure, if these boys did urinate on the corpses of the Taliban after a firefight, it was a violation of Marine code, U.S. military code. But it doesn't rise to the level of the crime that the cowards in government and media are making it out to be. Let's look at the circumstances, as we would after any crime. After all, don't liberals always bend over backwards for criminals, giving them the benefit of the doubt at every turn, at every trial, telling us to reserve judgment, to look at extenuating circumstances, to look at the childhoods and the this and the that, giving them one appeal after another? Yet here the liberals and the media are rushing to judgment to crucify our brave warriors. These kids are not the fat old generals sitting in the Pentagon waiting for the next contractor to walk through the door. These are the young boys with the guts to defend our nation. Make no mistake about it, the Taliban are a ruthless, vicious enemy of freedom. Where was the media outrage when the U.S. contractors were hung from a bridge in Fallujah? Did we hear a demand for trial for those who did it from the media at that time? What about Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim major who executed 13 and shot 33 others? Why has he not been brought to trial? Why has the media let that one disappear? Where is the outrage? The answer is nowhere. No, these Marines are not the devils. The Taliban are the devils. And these boys are your heroes. They should be rewarded for having the guts to go into combat, not punished for stepping over the line. They're being judged by the same rules of engagement that the police are being judged by, which are difficult enough on the streets of America, let alone in a war zone, which is not the same. That's why I say give these boys a medal, not a court-martial. Why is it that the American media is always so forgiving of the enemy and always so condemning of our troops? Finally, as Shakespeare said, to err is human, to forgive divine. I'm Michael Savage, and I agree with this editorial. It's interesting to me that it falls upon me to go to bat for these kids. It's very interesting that very, very few are standing up for them right now. So far as I know, I haven't heard one of the marionettes of the Moloch Empire say one word in their defense. None of the marionettes in the Moloch Empire have come to their aid because this is too hot a potato. And Moloch just opened up an outlet in the Middle East. So Moloch's marionettes have to be very careful. Moloch's marionettes include the Leprechaun Gang, as you well know, who hate me and have ganged up upon me. But okay, that's the world we're in. It's a very competitive world. I could care less. I don't need them, and they don't need me. But Moloch's marionettes should certainly be defending the Marines, shouldn't they? Don't they often wrap themselves in the flag of the United States of America? Don't Moloch's marionettes often go around giving speeches, claiming what patriots they are? So why are Moloch's marionettes silent at a time like this? Moloch's marionettes need to come out and defend the Marines at a time like this. They have the power. I don't. I'm only a mere talk show host with a very small audience of 8 to 10 million, rarely heard or mentioned. Like the ex-Soviet Union, I am the forgotten. I am the unmentioned. See, in the ex-Soviet Union, when they wanted to disappear a person, they didn't necessarily kill him or put him into the gulag. They just ignored him. They made believe he didn't exist. Doesn't matter that I've written 27 books I've been on the radio for 18 or 17 years and have an audience that's phenomenally large and phenomenally loyal. That doesn't matter. No, what the Soviet Americans do today is they ignore you if you don't go along with the program. But this is the way I am. My parents, my father came from a dictatorship. He fled a dictatorship. He told me what a dictatorship is. He worshipped America and its freedoms. He worshipped this country. From the time I was born, I was told to love America. And I guess I'm still the Boy Scout. Nothing more I can do about it. So if it falls upon me to defend the Marines with this editorial or on this show, and then to raise money for them, I'll do it. I'll be proud to do it. I'll be very proud to do it. I hope you will be as well when the time comes, because this is not going away. This was orchestrated by the Obama media complex. This was released just after Leon Panetta told us he was going to slash the Marines by 100 or so thousand troops. This was done to, for one reason and one reason only. This was done to deface and to disgrace the U.S. Marine Corps. Yes, that's why they released it just last Thursday, right after Panetta announced cutting them to the bone. 1-800-449-8255. It's a very big story. It's on michaelsavage.com, and it's not going away. To err is human, to forgive divine. What do you have to say about any of this? Boston, Massachusetts, WRKO. Jim, thanks for listening. You're on the air with Michael Savage and millions of others.
I believe everything you say, and I think these Marines just need a little help, and then they need a Purple Heart and a star on their shoulder to control the military themselves. They're all hard workers, and we need to get bigger military and smaller government. And keep up the good fight, Doctor.
Thank you very much. You know, here's an interesting editorial just came out from the Scripps Howard News Service, which is astonishing that a liberal outlet like this would take the side of the Marines. I got to read this. This is a beautiful, astounding. Critics worse than urinating Marines, says Jay Ambrose of Scripps Howard News Service. Four Marines urinated on the bodies of three Afghans, apparently thwarted in their ambitions to shoot off the Marines' heads. The desecrating deed was an abridgment of military rules, and though it's highly dubious, could have an adverse impact on U.S. operations in Afghanistan, but something worse has ensued. That's the reaction, which in the overreaching hands of some has been far more a moral abuse than anything done to insensible corpses. The yelping and screaming have themselves been a desecration, but a desecration of the living, a means of terrifying and vilifying young, self-sacrificing American volunteers already subjected to the endless brutality of a war that's not a war. It's a nation-building process that, instead of allowing adequate self-defense, subjects our military to constant sneak attacks by pretend civilians. There's more context, beginning with the fact that urinating on the dead is hardly unheard of in war, even for Americans. For our ceaselessly savage Taliban enemy in Afghanistan, articles remind us it is kid stuff. These people like to strip bodies naked, castrate them, and hang them high for all to see, as they did once during the Afghan conflict with the Soviet Union. It wasn't the Taliban, but Americans can remember far worse than urination during our brief intervention in Somalia, when stripped bodies of American soldiers were dragged through streets as happy crowds cheered. Jihadists have also cut off the heads of living Americans as a demonstration of their own humane beliefs. None of this is to say we should not be better. In fact, we are much, much better. And though the Marines were wrong in what they did, their behavior became a supposed unspeakable horror only because of the omnipresence these days of video cameras and social networking by which acts meant to stay private can end up on YouTube. In this age of the Internet, people all over the world could see a video of the Marines in action, while the enemy no doubt saw something more. Possibilities for exploitation and further demonizing. Thus, we had Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta wrongheadedly attempting damage control by making a major moment of calling the incident utterly deplorable. Panetta's real concern, clearly, was the video, which he said could be misused to disrupt reconciliation with enemy Afghans. A brief statement by someone lower down would have given the Taliban less ammo. We're trying to get the Taliban in talks so they will quiet down and return for a share of government when we leave. But listen, they are not about to hang up on these appeasement possibilities. Neither are they about to lay down their arms anytime soon. They want to have as much military advantage as they possibly can when we pull out on a no-matter-what deadline, for they ultimately will not settle for just a share of power. They want the whole enchilada. so they get back to such activities as stoning young women to death for premarital sex and maybe aiding terrorist groups in attacks in the United States. What should happen to the Marines? They've now been publicly excoriated not only by Panetta, but also Secretary of State Hillary Rotten Clinton and all kinds of military brass. The talk has been less tempered than when Iran was mercilessly squashing a public rebellion. Some commentators trying to show how super sensitive they are have mostly shown how utterly inchoate their value system is. But knowledge of their comments still must sting. The Marines must feel their future is done, and treating them like that is far worse than what they did. I am with Rep. Alan West, a Florida Republican who used to be a lieutenant colonel in the Army. He wrote that the Marines' offense should be treated as minor and that one punishment should be for them to sing the Marine Corps hymn in front of fellow Marines after a public apology. As for everyone else, he wrote, unless you have been shot at by the Taliban, shut your mouth. War is hell. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You hear the one about the Italian cruise ship captain? There is no one, because there won't be any more Italian cruise ship captains after this. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have audio now of the Italian Coast Guard screaming at the capsized cruise ship captain to get back on the ship as he sat in the lifeboat and wouldn't get back in back on the boat. It's astonishing what's going on in the world today. I mean, I don't think this is the first time a captain has abandoned a ship before the last passenger, but now we have it on tape. Everything is new. We're living in a new world order and a new age where everything is happening right in front of our eyes. And I think we have to adjust to it. The problem is that the worst scum on the planet are never seen on YouTube. The problem is that the worst and most evil people on the earth are never videotaped doing their vile deeds. The problem, my friends, is that you don't have context anymore. That's the problem. So if you want to talk about this topic, we can do so. We want to talk about the cowardly Italian cruise ship captain, which is not to besmirch all Italians nor all cruise ships, but boy, this is pretty bad. This is pretty bad. I mean, the Coast Guard screaming at the capsized cruise ship captain, go aboard, he says, it is an order. And you could actually hear it now on YouTube. It's astonishing. He wouldn't do it. He argued that reboarding the listing ship would be dangerous. Prosecutors accused Captain Francesco Schettino of manslaughter, causing a shipwreck and abandoning the ship before all passengers were evacuated. There's a recording of the conversation with Italian Coast Guard Captain Gregorio De Falco that came out today, indicating the captain fled before all passengers were off the ship and then resisted De Falco's repeated orders to return. The Coast Guard man, De Falco, says, you go on board and then you will tell me how many people there are. Is that clear? Captain Schettino resists, saying that the ship was tipping, that it was dark. At the time, he was in a lifeboat and said he was coordinating the rescue from there. Sounds like the military brass, doesn't it? They're in a nice, safe lifeboat. De Falco shouts back, and so what? You want to go home, Schettino? It is dark, and you want to go home? Get in the prow of the boat using the pilot ladder and tell me what can be done, how many people there are, and what their needs are. Now, you go aboard. It is an order. Don't make any more excuses. You have declared abandoned ship. Now I am in charge, De Falco shouts. Captain Schettino was finally heard agreeing to report on the tape, but the Coast Guard said he never went back and had police arrest him on land. Whoa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's going on here? This is astonishing. Look what Jersey Shore has brought us. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This gives a whole new meaning to the phrase captain's night. Well, hooray for the Italian Coast Guard anyway. If you translate the word Schettino from the Italian, Google says it means roller skate. I don't know if that's true. Captain Roller Skate. It's awful to work. Well, it's one thing is I got to tell you this. You know, each day I get up, and I don't know if I can do the show some days. I don't think I can take any more of Obama's machinations and the media the hiding of what's going on. Every day it's very hard for me, because the age of the free press is over. It's been over a long time. And then I wake up and I see that a foreign election firm, a computer firm, has bought our election reporting results without a peep out of the U.S. media. I saw it this morning on the Drudge Report, and then we dug further, and we found out that the venture capital firms that own this computer reporting firm is connected to Goldman Sachs. Can you believe this? How deep the tentacles go? Can you believe this? So, I mean, these are big stories. You know, those of us who are worried about illegal aliens voting or Acorn, we're watching yesterday's checkers game while the enemy is playing celestial chess. We're worrying about the illegal alien going into our voting booth when the enemy of our freedoms is already playing celestial chess with the vote. Mark that one down. Put that one down. You heard it here. Yeah, I know you really still want to talk about the Marine thing. I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. It's astounding. And I did tune in, despite the fact that I said I wouldn't, last night's debate. I thought some of the commentary was fantastic. I did not like Romney saying that he supports the NDAA. I thought it was horrible. I thought Romney didn't even understand it himself. In fact, he was booed in clip 5. Listen to this.
Yes, I would have, and I do believe that it's appropriate to have in our nation the capacity.
Right. See, Romney made a big mistake there. I don't think he even understands what he said. And to his credit, Santorum had the right opinion. Paul had the right opinion. I want to play some Ron Paul. Ron Paul is fantastic in his response. Listen to clip 11.
Let me give you one statistic. You're worrying about all these, where we're going to try people. Where are they going to do? We have to do it secretly because our rule of law is so flawed. We have arrested 362 people related to Al-Qaeda top operation. 260 of them are in prison. They've been tried and convicted. So don't give up on our American judicial system so easily, I beg of you.
God bless him for that one. He also said in clip 10 more about this NDAA, Paul. Did listen to this one.
I think we're going in the wrong direction for the protections of our liberties here at home. They're under deep threat. The Patriot Act has eliminated the Fourth Amendment. We now have a policy of preemptive war. You don't have to declare war, and you don't even have to have an enemy. We can start the wars. That's what preemptive war is all about.
Now, all right. He's right about that. Santorum was also right in rejecting the NDAA, which Romney supported. Listen to clip nine.
You're not an American citizen, that's one thing. But if you are a citizen and you're being held indefinitely, then you have a right to go to a federal court. And again, the law prior to the National Defense Authorization Act was that you had the right to go to a court and for that court to determine by a preponderance of the evidence whether you could continue to be held.
Under Dictator Obama. Dictator Obama has changed all of that. Listen to clip 4. You have to understand what happened on New Year's Eve. Listen.
Governor Romney, when President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law, he enacted a provision allowing him to indefinitely detain American citizens in U.S. military custody. Many, including Congressman Paul, have called this unconstitutional. At the same time, the bill did provide money to continue funding U.S. troops. Governor Romney, as president, would you have signed the National Defense Act as written?
And, of course, Romney makes the biggest mistake of his campaign, which I will play for you again in clip 5. Go ahead.
Yes, I would have. And I do believe that it's appropriate.
All right. Well, there it is. There's Romney doing the CFR shuffle. There's Romney supporting another loss of our freedoms. We don't know which way to turn at this point. We just don't know which way to turn. But I will say this. Any one of the candidates would be a better man in the White House than what we have right now. I would trust any one of them, and I would sleep better at night with any one of them, even Newt Gingrich.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. here's the news of the day, because it's shocking, and you're not going to believe it. I know you think that this can't be true. Unfortunately, with the gang that is running America, what I'm about to tell you is true. It is true. It is 100% true, and it's more frightening than you could imagine. My headline on michaelsavage.com says it all. U.S. election results now owned by a foreign firm. You heard me. One company in Europe now counts ballots for over 525 jurisdictions in the United States. Did you hear this? I'll repeat it again. A foreign company bought the leading U.S. elections reporting firm. Who are these people? Well, there's more on this, on the Savage Nation, than meets the eye. As far as I can tell, this is an international group of businessmen, socialists, connected to the CFR, connected to Hillary Clinton's State Department. I have the names, and they are on michaelsavage.com. What is the take-home message for you? Take-home message is that your election results are now filtered through a foreign firm that owns the computers that do the counting. This is true. This is not false. This is not made up. This is beyond belief. How can this be going on in the United States of America? How could we have given over our sovereignty to a global internet voting firm which bought U.S. election results? The answer is there is no opposition party. Even your local or state election results, when viewed on the internet, are viewed through portals which are owned by the County Elections Division in over 525 U.S. jurisdictions. You're actually redirected to a private corporate site controlled by SOE Software, which operates under the name ClarityElections.com. What does this mean? It means that all of our election results are funneled through one portal, through one firm. How is that possible? Where's the Federal Election Commission, the FEC? Where are the Republicans? Where is the media on this? Where? You tell me where they are. All this and more will be discussed today in great detail and over the next few days on The Savage Nation, or catch more about it on michaelsavage.com. How do you feel about a foreign company counting your votes in the next election? Why haven't the Republicans said anything or done anything about this? Why has there been no action taken by the Federal Elections Commission? The State Department under Hillary Clinton gave this company money for elections in the Middle East, elections which have placed radical Muslims in power. Do you fear there's a connection between Hillary Clinton and this company? Now, given his involvement in the Arab uprisings, do you fear that George Soros is really behind all of this? These are some of the questions. There are others. Also today on The Savage Nation, I received the following email from the USA Today editorial page. And here is what it said. I'm emailing from USA Today's editorial page, they wrote, in hopes of getting in touch with Michael Savage. We'd like to invite him to contribute to an upcoming debate in the newspaper about the video of the Marines who urinated on corpses in Afghanistan. Here's some context on our request, they wrote. As you may know, our editorial page is traditionally set up as a debate, featuring both the stance of the USA Today board and a view from an opposing side, in order to show readers both sides of a given issue. In this case, our editorial board wrote this, quote, this is the USA Today's view of the Marine issue. They wrote, you don't have to respect the Taliban's views or their actions or diminish the bravery and dedication of Marines who put themselves in harm's way in Afghanistan to condemn what these Marines did. If they're guilty, and it obviously looks like they are, but we'll see, they have violated explicit codes that have always governed U.S. troops in wartime. Not just that, but they've needlessly given aid and comfort to the enemy by handing the Taliban evidence to further inflame public opinion against U.S. troops. In a war where we're competing with the Taliban to win the hearts and minds of Afghans, that's astonishingly stupid. If these Marines are found guilty after investigation, USA Today says they deserve the appropriate punishment under military law. They then said, we heard Dr. Savage's comments on the subject on his radio show the other day and thought he may be interested in taking the opposing view, arguing in roughly 350 words that the Marines don't deserve censure for their actions. A lot of our readers have written in about this, so we expect major interest in the debate. Because it may run in the USA Today paper as early as Thursday, we would need to receive his piece by 4 p.m. Wednesday. The length, again, should be around 350 words. I will be sending my reply to them. But prior to my reply arriving, I would like to tell you that I've already replied in some ways. If you actually remember some of the earlier shows, you will discover that I did a whole piece on this on the radio show. Savage rips cowardly condemnation of Marines in video. It's on WND. And the Defense Department top Marine Corps brass responding to a video that apparently shows four U.S. Marines urinating on bloody bodies in Afghanistan should be standing up for brave American warriors instead of kowtowing to radical Islamic lobby groups and Afghan leaders, says talk radio host Michael Savage. What have the Taliban done to our troops? What have the Taliban done to the Afghanis? What are they responsible for in terms of human degradation, Savage asked. Why is our government punishing our Marines instead of saluting them? As military officials investigate the 39-second video, which surfaced amid attempts by Washington to engage in peace talks with the Taliban, U.S. officials already are condemning the Marines. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, who was said to be deeply troubled by the utterly deplorable video, telephoned Afghani warlord Hamid Karzai and vowed in a statement that, quote, those found to engage in such conduct will be held accountable to the fullest extent. Niwad Awad, executive director of the hate group Council on American-Islamic Relations, a D.C.-based lobbying group tied to a scheme to fund Hamas, faxed a letter to Panetta condemning this act. Savage noted that CARE is the same hate group that overturned the law passed by the majority of people in Oklahoma to ban consideration of international or Islamic law in the state's courts. Quote, apparently they were distressed that the Marines were not dead and that the Taliban was dead, and they got back at the Marines in any way they could, Savage said of CARE's reaction. There's much more in the article. And Savage insisted there's a better way to respond than attacking the Marines, and that is to say, he suggested, we don't know what happened. However, we are U.S. Marines first, and we support our boys. Whatever happened in the heat of battle will be looked into. Now go away and cover Newt Gingrich's waistline. Leave us alone. Leave it to the military. Savage noticed that there's little media coverage when Marines are mutilated. He said the Taliban are barbarians. They cut people's heads off. They kill women and children. But, of course, there's no mention of any of that. None other than a Taliban spokesman himself used the term barbaric, but it was to describe the scene of Marines urinating on bodies. Karzai also attacked Marines. Savage wondered, if we strip away all of the brave ones, who will be left? What kind of men would have the guts to enlist in the Marine Corps to begin with, to choose to go into combat against these 15th-century throwbacks and to face them eye-to-eye, man-to-man, blade-to-blade, gun-to-gun, bullet-for-bullet, he asked. And we're supposed to expect nice guys like Wolf Blitzer to enlist in the military? The Naval Criminal Investigative Service will be investigating. Savage summed up for his listeners the fate of the four Marines. Should they be given a medal or a court-martial in this cowardly new world we live in, where the generals throw their boys overboard to the wolves of the media, he asked.
Governor Romney, when President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law, he enacted a provision allowing him to indefinitely detain American citizens in U.S. military custody. Many, including Congressman Paul, have called this unconstitutional. At the same time, the bill did provide money to continue funding U.S. troops. Governor Romney, as president, would you have signed the National Defense Act as written?
Yes, I would have, and I do believe that it's appropriate to have in our nation the capacity to detain people who are threats to this country, who are members of al-Qaeda. Look, you have every right in this country to protest and to express your views on a wide range of issues, but you don't have a right to join a group that has challenged America and has threatened killing Americans, has killed Americans, and has declared war against America. That's treason. And in this country, we have a right to take those people and put them in jail.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com.
Savage. We'll be right back.
they made a mistake that the military needs to deal with, and they need to be punished. But the fact of the matter, the fact of the matter is this. When the Secretary of Defense calls that a despicable act, when he calls that utterly despicable, let me tell you what's utterly despicable. Cutting Danny Pearl's head off and showing the video of it.
Portland, Oregon, Ann, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I would like some more information on carnitine. I had not heard of it until you mentioned it long ago, and I heard you mention it today.
Carnitine is found only in meat, and that's the problem. People don't understand that we are animals with, just look at our dentures. We have canine teeth. We have teeth that are made for grinding, and we have teeth that are made for cutting and ripping. We are perfect omnivores. It doesn't mean we cannot live on a well-balanced vegetarian diet. We certainly can, but we're not particularly adapted for it. I can show you one ancient ethnic group after another and one modern ethnic group after another that lives almost purely on blubber. Look at the Icelandic Eskimos. The Greenland Eskimos eat the highest fat diet in the world, and they have the lowest rate of coronary heart disease. Are you aware of that?
I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, they eat whale meat, they eat seal blubber, and they have virtually no occlusion of the arteries. And that is because the whale and the seals from those seas ingest foods. The whale ingests plankton, the seals ingest fish that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So the meat in the blubber contains highly beneficial fats rather than fat per se. So we are a fatophobic nation that's obsessed with being skinny, number one, and eliminating fat from our diet, number two. And look at the children. They wind up psychotic on medication because they're on too thin a diet, like their mothers. They may look good, but they're ditzy inside, you understand? But carnitine, to get back to my primary point, carnitine is found only in carne, only in meat. It is an energizer. It's a source of energy for human beings. Let's put it to you that way. Although carnitine is an enzyme, it's an essential enzyme that can be not found anywhere else but in meat. And that is why many vegetarians who are, let us say, highly strung, very nervous, very spacey, they feel out of touch. You give them a good piece of meat, and they always say they feel better. Always. It happens every time. I suggest you go out and have yourself a hamburger tonight, even a McDonald's burger. That's all. See how you feel tomorrow. Get back to me. So what would you like to talk? Please don't ask I knew this would happen, the nutrition questions. I didn't want to do that. Let's see. What else do you want to ask? I have, you know, opinions that are based on facts rather than made up out of the thin air. So you say, oh, hogwash, what do you know about nutrition? I know more about it than you do because I eat yogurt. And if I eat yogurt and I eat tofu, I'm going to be healthier than you. All right, good luck to you. I hope you live to the age of Moses. You know what I mean? But I doubt it. The human being is not made for tofu and yogurt. That's all I can tell you. And particularly polyunsaturated fats are very, very deadly for you, incidentally. By the way, very deadly for you. So there's much more to this picture than taking Lipitor and eating low-fat diets, okay? The fact of the matter is carnitine, in this case, is something you should know about. It's a naturally occurring amino acid derivative. It's produced by the body in the kidneys and the liver, and it's, you know, it's derived from meat. And carnitine deficiency is a situation that will prevent the body from using certain fats for energy, and you wind up feeling completely out of energy, completely blah. And I'm not going to say you're going to have what's known in the medical world as primary carnitine deficiency, but you need it. That's all. You need carnitine to process fats and produce energy. And signs and symptoms of primary carnitine deficiency can appear during infancy or early childhood. And very often, this is a very serious condition. It's very uncommon, by the way. The incidence of primary carnitine deficiency is 1 in 100,000 newborns. In Japan, this disorder is only 1 in every 40,000 newborns. So I don't want to get into the medicine and the genetics of it. You can inherit this, but on the other hand, you could simply eat some meat every once in a while and make sure that you have the carnitine that you need. You know, Montana, Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Lewis and Clark, when they came from 2,000 miles from St. Louis all the way to Oregon, the average man ate 8.5 pounds of red meat a day, and the only person that died was Corporal Pyle, and he died 23 miles outside of St. Louis because of appendicitis, and those men were gone for 3 years, and they were fine and healthy when they got back. They drug their Piorgs, which the weight was about 2,500 pounds apiece. They drug them all the way up.
They were very strong men, and they generally lived longer than people live today. They were very hardy people. I'm definitely, this whole idea of low fat, low cholesterol, take Lipitor is such rubbish, it's beyond belief. It's incomprehensibly backwards. It's one of the greatest medical scandals in history. It's like the colostomy bag. I don't know if people don't know this, but around the, I think it was in the period of about 1890 in the upper classes of England, if there is such a thing. I doubt very much that there ever was a thing called upper classes in England, but there was a group of people who considered themselves members of the upper class. Generally, they were people who inherited money that was stolen from the colonies. Anyway, these people, who have caused so much havoc around the earth, had nothing to do with themselves except get drunk and eat daintily. And then they had this idea that the fecal matter that every human being produces was somehow low class and disgusting. And they just could not live with the idea that they had to sit down and go to the toilet. So they came up with a novel idea. They put colostomy bags on their bodies so they would never have to again sit in what is affectionately known as the crapper.
Savage.
Now, these young men made a mistake. They obviously made a mistake.
You're talking about urinating on the corpses.
They made a mistake that the military needs to deal with, and they need to be punished. But the fact of the matter, the fact of the matter is this. When the Secretary of Defense calls that a despicable act, when he calls that utterly despicable, let me tell you what's utterly despicable. Cutting Danny Pearl's head off and showing the video of it. Hanging our contractors from bridges. That's utterly despicable. For our president, for the Secretary of State, for the Department of Defense Secretary to make those kind of statements about those young Marines, yes, they need to be punished. But when you see this president with that type of disdain for our country, taking $1 trillion out of our defense budget, I lived through a reduction of force once, and I saw the result of it in the sands of Iran in 1979. Never again.
The anti-American left-wing media is attacking the U.S. Marines who urinated on the dead bodies of Afghan Taliban terrorists. Rick Perry and myself seem to be the only two people who are supporting these men. Joining us right now in the Savage Nation to discuss this is J.D. Gordon, a columnist for the Washington Times and Human Events, as well as a former Defense Department spokesman. J.D. Gordon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Well, what are your thoughts on this horrible story, an attack on the Marines?
Well, I think it was a regrettable incident, and it was a mistake, and I do think the Marines should be punished for what they did. I do think that it's been a little bit overblown as well, because there's a considerable amount of stress these Marines are going through. They may have been in a firefight with the Taliban there, and so it's very hard, unless you're in that position with people shooting at you, to see what the Marines are going to do afterwards. But like I said, I do think it's regrettable, and I do think that it's it does set us back a little bit, because we're trying to win hearts and minds in Afghanistan, and to have this type of incident doesn't do us any favors.
Do you agree with me that the media is attacking the Marines right now in order to justify Obama's attack on the U.S. Marines?
Well, because I think that they see in it abuse of dead bodies, people they were fighting, and I think they understand that it makes it difficult for us to achieve our objectives there. But I also think that the media tend to hyperventilate whenever they see something that that doesn't look right. And I think they've given it a bit too much attention. Like I said, I think it was regrettable, but I think the media is taking it out of proportion a little bit. I mean, if you look at what the Taliban do, they cut people's heads off. So this is really minor compared to that.
What effect will this have on the war on terror?
I don't really think it'll have too many impacts, because if you look at the reaction in Afghanistan so far, it's been pretty muted. Basically, the Taliban said that, oh, well, this is not going to impact the peace talks. So they basically shrugged it off. But if you look at the difference to when we had reports and actual incidences of Korans being abused, say when Terry Jones, the pastor in Gainesville, Florida, when he burned a Koran, there were actually riots in Afghanistan and 12 UN workers killed. And in fact, this was in March of 2011. In fact, some of them were beheaded because of the reports of a Koran being burned. And if you go back even further, in 2005, Newsweek had a false story that said that a Koran had been flushed down a toilet by guards or interrogators at Guantanamo, which turned out not to be true. But still, what happened is in Afghanistan, they held that up to say, hey, look, Muslims are being abused by Americans. And then there were riots and 17 people died because of a false story. So I think if you take in comparison between abuse of the Koran and abuse of bodies, the people were fighting tend to view abuse of the Koran in much darker terms than abuse of bodies or urinating on the Taliban like they did. So I think it kind of gives you a unique window into the people we're fighting against.
Well, what do you think they're going to actually do to these poor guys?
I think they will be punished due to the all the political fallout over. I think they will be court-martialed, but I think their sentences will probably be pretty light. I would guess that they may lose a stripe over it. If they're a corporal, they may be a lance corporal afterwards. They've identified four of them. They're based out of Camp Lejeune, but I don't think they're looking at any type of prison type of sentence. I would think it would be more along the lines of losing a stripe or getting fined. They could get restricted to the barracks for 30 days, something like that. If the court-martial did not go well at all for them, it's possible they could be kicked out of the Marine Corps.
Yes, what they did was wrong, but don't we need to stand by the Marines and give them a slap on the wrist instead of a cutlass to the neck?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we should stand by the Marines to the extent possible. But we also have to realize that these Marines put other Marines in jeopardy by doing what they did. And it makes it harder throughout the Muslim world to basically win hearts and minds. There are a billion Muslims in the world. And so when you have a video that pops up like that, it makes it harder for everybody in the military to do their jobs. I was a Pentagon spokesman, served 20 years in the Navy. I was a Navy commander, served in combat zones before. And when you have some incident like this, it makes it harder for everybody else to do what they need to do and achieve their mission.
Well, what has President Obama done to weaken our country militarily?
Oh, well, he's done a lot. First of all, we've got $1 trillion in defense cuts coming over the next decade because of President Obama's failed economic policies. So basically, that's going to impact the military dramatically. He's thrown our allies under the bus in places like Egypt, Tunisia, and Yemen. So now we're going to see Islamist governments take over in those countries that are going to be very anti-U.S., very anti-Israel. He's done absolutely nothing to stop Iran. He hasn't supported their democracy movement, even though Iran's been an enemy. Same could be said for Syria. He's done very little for Syria. Meanwhile, Bashar al-Assad's been an enemy to the United States, and we should be supporting the opposition there. Of all the countries in the Arab Spring to support, we should be supporting Syria. So I think that we've seen a number of ways President Obama has made this country weaker over the past 30 years.
What do these GOP presidential candidates need to do to continue to show that the United States is a strong military power?
I think the GOP candidates have to show that we're strong. Enemies don't respect weakness, and I think Obama has telegraphed weakness to the world when he does things like bow down to the King of Saudi Arabia, when he tells Israel they should go back to the 1967 borders. I think that telegraphs weakness. I think all the defense cuts that we're going to have over the next decade telegraphs weakness. So for the GOP candidates, I would just say to make sure that they telegraph that we're strong to the world, because people don't want to attack our military if they think it's strong. If they think we're on the decline, if they think weak, that's when people will attack us. And I think it's been very damaging for the country to have the president's foreign policy in place since he's been in office.
J.D. Gordon, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back. Savage. Savage Nation, if you're not having fun on radio, then get away from the microphone, because no one wants to listen to a cranky old man. The first thing I learned when I went in this business is have fun on the radio. And let me tell you something, not too many people are still having fun on the radio. They're running scared, and you can hear it, and that's why people are turning off the radio. Now, it's hard to have fun when you have a Marxist president who is destroying jobs, and you have a first lady gallivanting around the world, spending money like the Queen of England was in the 19th century or the 18th century, being snubbed by the president of South Africa and it not appearing in the news because they cover the backsides of the president and the first lady like never before in history. It's very difficult, and that's why I tell you we're going to have some fun in the Savage Nation. In addition to all of the news of the day, which I'm going to do, remember I was saying how did we go from a time when I was a kid, for example, when even poor Italian people who were in my grew up in my neighborhood, they looked up to opera stars. Even the poorest Italians could sing an aria or try to sing an aria. Their role models were people such as Mario Lanza, later on Pavarotti. And take a look at the degeneracy today of a culture where Jersey Shore and the Sopranos are held up as the role models for Italians. Or take a look at the Jewish people. When I was a boy, Jonas Salk was held up as a role model. Take a look at what we have now, Anthony Weiner. When I was a boy, Martin Luther King Jr. was a role model for black people. Take a look at the rapper garbage we have today in the United States of America. And so without further ado, let's go to the wonderful sound production describing the role models and the leadership of the past to the present, from dignity to depravity, on the Savage Nation.
We have fun, we're fearless. I mean, we go into the room, we kill it. We go into the club, we kill it. Photo shoots, we kill it. We're in Miami, we're killing it. On the beach, we're killing it.
That's just how we do since day one.
I believe that the future generations will look back upon us and judge us as to whether we have been wise or whether we have been profligate and wasteful.
I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
I said a hip hop, the hippie to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang, boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie.
So there we go, from Pavarotti to the degenerate filth of Jersey Shore, the illiterate morons, from Jonas Salk to Anthony Weiner, from Martin Luther King Jr. to a rapper who can hardly speak the English language. Now let's go to the next one, which we put together. We're going to compare, for those of you who are not of any of those ethnicities or proclivities, we're going to go to a comparison between Dylan Thomas, a Welsh poet, and Amy Winehouse, an otherwise nobody who somebody doesn't love. We're then going to go to Edward R. Murrow compared with Chris Matthews, a man who belongs in an Alzheimer's ward, in my opinion. We're then going to show you a Hispanic gentleman named Luis Alvarez, one of the great physicists who you probably never heard of, who got where he was without affirmative action, without the government helping him along. And then we're going to compare Luis Alvarez, scientist, Nobel Prize winner, with Representative Gutierrez. Then we're going to compare Madame Curie to Lady Gaga right now on the Savage Nation.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law.
The feeling most people get when they hear a Barack Obama speech, I felt this thrill going up my leg. I don't have that too often.
Steady.
I was following my father's advice, I said to myself, let's just sit down in a chair and spend all evening and see what you can come up with.
In the same manner as we have stood up, when the rule of law said to a woman, you will not earn equal pay, when someone of sexual orientation is abused, we say that will not be tolerated.
Magnesium oxide, 99%, other extraneous matter, 0.001%.
I wrote this speech, this address, myself, my address to you today is called the prime rib of America.
Is this over your head, under your head, on your head, or between the eyes? What I want to talk about are tomatoes right now, because the entire nation can be seen through a tomato. Do you know that we once had some of the finest, safest tomatoes, and for that matter, other produce in the world? And then along came NAFTA. That's right. The vermin in the government, along with their friends in agribusiness, wanted to make more money. And they didn't want to be constrained by paying inhumane wages. They wanted to pay slave wages. It wasn't enough that the pigs in agribusiness were paying inhumane wages. Now the pigs wanted to pay slave wages. And wait, there's more to it than that. The pigs in agribusiness were really fed up that they had to use no chemicals like DDT. They were no longer able to use DDT on tomatoes because they were DDT and other dangerous chemicals had been banned in America. So guess what the pigs in agribusiness did? They moved tomato farms down to Mexico with help from the Bush administration, destroying the tomato industry in Florida, virtually wiping it out except for small pockets here in California. And presto magico, we now have contaminated tomatoes with salmonella. That's right, contaminated tomatoes. The world threw a tomato on the Savage Nation. Listen to the montage.
Salmonella outbreak nationwide.
An outbreak of salmonella infections.
Fever, nausea, vomiting, terrible diarrhea.
More than 70 cases have been confirmed.
Yank off tomatoes off the menu.
Others under investigation.
Some kind of sewage.
Rushing to figure out why dozens of people have gotten sick.
Fecal contamination of some sort.
Texas, New Mexico, Arizona.
Terrible diarrhea.
Avoid eating raw tomatoes.
Some kind of sewage. Maybe you should be going to your local farmer's market.
Well,
fecal contamination of some sort.
All right, turn off the dimwits from Fox News and the other idiotic channels. Almost all of the contaminated tomatoes are coming from your friends in Mexico where they use human feces on their vegetables. It's been well known for decades that you didn't eat, when you went to Mexico, you did not eat vegetables. Everybody knew that. If you ate vegetables, you got what was known as turista. Turista came from fecal matter on your vegetables. So any gringo who went south of the border knew not to eat raw salad in Mexico. But as a result of the greed in the industry and the government media greed, now that the industries have been transported wholesale to Mexico, we are now inheriting the wind of pollution. That is right. That is correct. Everything is not the bottom line, but when I come back, I will tell you, A, the source of this contamination, which the FDA will not release to you, but I found out what it is. And the FDA chief, in my opinion, for hiding this, should be put in jail for 20 years. Let me tell you something. 20-odd years ago, blood got contaminated. Blood supply was contaminated in France. And you know what the French did? They took their health minister and they put her in prison for a good number of years. She didn't have anything to do with contaminating the blood supply, but it was her job to make certain the blood supply was not contaminated. And when she failed the French people, there was such an outcry that she was put in prison for, I think, 10 years. I would like to see the chairman of the FDA put in jail for 10 years at least. Not so much because he contaminated the tomatoes with salmonella, but because not only did he not prevent this, but he won't even release the facts. See, I'm a tomato lover. I have been most of my adult life, not only because I know the health benefits of tomato. I happen to love all tomato products, tomato sauce, tomato ketchup. But I eat raw tomatoes for breakfast, and I have for 20 years, usually on a bagel in the morning. And I do so because I study the chemistry of the tomato. And we all know, particularly for men who want to receive the health benefits of the particular antioxidant found in tomatoes, that they're good for you. Now, we had no problem with tomatoes in America, by and large, until they started to be imported from Mexico, where, of course, there is no food safety whatsoever. And I only buy tomatoes that are stamped grown in California, and preferably I eat only organically grown tomatoes. However, you can't always find that, particularly if you don't live in California. So there are some general things for you to follow, which is this. There are tomatoes that are not at all involved with this particular outbreak that you can eat. And which are the tomatoes that you can still eat? Well, those are the ones, for example, sold with the vine still attached and tomatoes grown at home. That's obviously, I mean, tomatoes grown at home, fine. If you have a vine attached to it, fine. Cherry tomatoes, generally good. Grape tomatoes, generally good. Okay? The cause is related to being grown in Mexico, even though the FDA is hiding that, because agribusiness now controls every aspect of the federal government, is now controlled by an industry instead of the other way around. In the same country, the government makes sure industry complies with food and safety laws. In a corrupt climate, which is what we have now, the industry people dictate to the schmucks in the government what they can and cannot say. That's why you're not hearing that the tomatoes in question are coming from primarily from Mexico. Now, the tomatoes to avoid and the ones you should throw away are very clear. And you know what they are. And it's sad. Raw red plum, Roma, red round are the tomatoes associated with it. I would not stop eating tomatoes. I would just make sure that you're getting the tomatoes that are least likely to contain salmonella. I would also make sure that the FDA chief goes to prison for 20 years if you had any power over it. So McDonald's said it stopped serving sliced tomatoes in its U.S. restaurants. That's sad because the tomato was probably the only vitamin C that the people were getting in their hamburger sandwich. You know, I'm the kind of guy that if I do go to McDonald's, which is maybe once a month, I'll go in and pig out. I'll always say to them, give me some extra tomatoes and extra onions on my burger. Why? Because I know that the tomatoes and onions are likely to mitigate against the toxic fat and the other garbage in the meat. That's all. Meanwhile, I get what I, you know, it's like, you know, you get good, the good with the bad. But this is very serious stuff, and I have an article up on michaelsavage.com called Avoiding Toxic Tomatoes, which will spell all of this out for you. And people have even lost the idea of how to wash produce and how to wash their hands before serving produce. You know, laves los manos, for God's sakes, you go into restaurants today. Look at the food handling that goes on in there. Take a look at what goes on behind the counter.
Savage.